Hare Krishna. So on the sacred occasion of Janmashtami, which is just a appearance of Krishna, which is just a few hours away from now, I'll speak about the event of the appearance of Krishna as well as the significance of that event. Tamasoma Jyotirgama. The Upanishads describe that go from darkness to light. Mrityumma Amritanga. Go from mortality to immortality. From death to deathlessness. All of us have, if we are in a dark place, if we wake up and we find everything dark, we look, where is light? Or where can I turn on the light? Even the tiniest of living beings, they very strongly want to avoid any danger to their life, avoid death and go towards life to survive. So this tendency which is there in all of us, it is actually fulfilled at the spiritual level. The word spirituality is nowadays very common. And people say, okay, you know, I went to this mountain top, I saw this scenery, it was very spiritual. Or some people say, I heard this, I saw this painting, it was a very spiritual painting. Nowadays people use the word spiritual as referring to anything which makes them feel peaceful, which makes them feel good. Even when people come to a temple also, they want to feel good when they come to a temple. So people often equate anything which feels good with spiritual. However, spirituality is not just a state of mind. It is also a state of being. It is not just a state of mind, how our mind feels. But it is a state of being. State of being means that there is another level of reality which is spiritual reality. Parastasmat bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanah yas sarvesh bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashyati. In 8.20, the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, in this world, sometimes things are manifested and sometimes they are unmanifested. Sometimes you may have a big building, sometimes you may just have a rubble, the debris of the building. But in both cases, Krishna says, things are temporary over here. But beyond the manifested and unmanifested nature of this world, there is another world. And that world is eternal. Avyakto aksharityuktas tamahu paramam gatim yam prapyana nivartante taddhama paramam mama. 8.21, he says, that is unmanifest, that is beyond verbal description. That is the supreme important, that is where I reside. And Krishna says, from there he descends to this world. So, to become spiritual is not just to feel good, but it is to tune our consciousness to the spiritual level of reality. And Krishna is the supreme spiritual reality. So, when we become attracted to Krishna, when we become devoted to Krishna, then that tunes our consciousness to the spiritual level. And when Krishna descends to this world, his purpose is to inspire us to become elevated to that spiritual reality. Suppose we are watching a movie. Nowadays, all movies are available to watch at our home, our computers, or on our devices. Still, people prefer to go to a movie theater to watch a movie. Why? Because even in the movie theater, when the movie is about to start, two things happen. First is the lights go off, and then another light turns on. So when the movie is to be enjoyed, even illusion, people want to enjoy in a undistracted illusion. So if you are at home, you're watching a movie, somebody is speaking something, some children are doing something, some phone call rings. But when you go to movie theater, the illusion is completely undistracted. Because when the lights go off, then we can't see much around us. And when in that darkness the lights turn on the screen, then our consciousness gets riveted completely to what is being played on that screen. So similarly in this world, so the person who is watching the movie is actually situated physically in the theater, but the consciousness is projected onto the movie theater, and then whatever is happening in the movie is experienced by them. So similarly, the soul is spiritual. The soul is like the spectator, the audience, the spectator watching the movie. But the soul's consciousness is projected into the material level of reality. And when we are too caught in the movie, somebody may be sitting right next to us, but we will not notice them because we are so caught in the movie. Sometimes a child may be watching a horror movie and the child may get horrified. Hey, what is happening? Hey, this shape-changing monster is here, attacking like this, devouring like that. The child may be trembling in horror. Actually, the mother may be there next to the child, but because the child is so caught in the horror movie, the child goes through a whole panorama of emotions. So similarly for us, we are souls and Krishna is right next to us in our own hearts. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hrudyeshu arjuna tishtati, is next to us. But our consciousness is caught in the world, so we can't perceive him. And then if the child is so caught in the horror movie, now sometimes the child is so scared, if the mother comes and touches the child, the child may think that monster from there is coming and touching. The child may scream. And although the mother is near, the mother can't touch the child. So what does the mother do? She doesn't want her child to be scared. So if the TV on which the child is watching the movie, the mother has a remote, and slowly the mother just changes the movie that is being displayed over there. And then instead of that horror movie, a nice movie of the mother with her children. Her other children, where she has shot a movie of their playing, their reciprocating love, the mother is expressing affection. A child starts saying, hey, what is this? This looks nice. This looks nice. I want to know more about this. A child starts watching it. Another child starts watching more and more. Then, oh, this is a nice person. Who is she? I think I know her. And as he starts looking more and more at that movie, and then the mother comes close by. He says, oh, you're here. And a child hugs the mother. The child comes out of the whole horror, which was there when they're captivated by the horror movie. Similarly for us, when we are caught in this world, at the material level, we go through various emotions. Sometimes happiness, sometimes distress. They say sometimes happiness, sometimes distress. But it's actually a few times happiness, most of the time distress. So, at that time, when Krishna descends to this world, Krishna's avatar and Krishna's leela in this world is like we are caught at the material level, but Krishna appears in the TV. And Krishna, whose pastimes are spiritual, existing in the spiritual level of reality, they become manifest to us at the material level. And then there are so many attractive things in this world, but when we see Krishna's pastimes, oh, this is nice. Such an attractive pastime this is. Who is this person? Our curiosity becomes triggered. And as our curiosity becomes triggered, we slowly start becoming attracted to him. And then, as we become attracted to him, then it happens, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sa arjuna. Krishna says that as you understand the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, then you will become attracted to me, you will become devoted to me, and then you will become free from this world, never to come back here to attain my eternal abode. So in that sense, when Krishna descends to this world, he is giving us a glimpse of what life and love eternal are like. And by that, he attracts us. So Krishna descended to this world about several thousands of years ago, and Krishna appeared in Mathura. That is the story, that is the narrative that is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, who have spread the bhakti tradition in depth as well as in breadth. So they explain Krishna's pastimes in much more detail. And they, in the Padma Purana, there is a famous verse which says, Vrindavan parityaja padam ekam na gacchati. That Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So then, if Krishna is already born outside Vrindavan, then how can we say that he will never leave Vrindavan? He is born only outside Vrindavan. So the acharyas say that actually Krishna has multiple manifestations. And Krishna, because he is God, he can simultaneously appear at many places. Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam. Anantarupam. He can have multiple manifestations. So traditionally the story that is known is Krishna appeared as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. That is true, but Krishna didn't only appear there. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas explained, Jiva Goswami explained in Gopal Champu, and then Vishwakrishna Chakra Thakur elaborates in Sarada Darshini, his commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna appears simultaneously in Mathura as well as in Dwarka, as in Vrindavan. So I will talk about the story of how Krishna appears in Vrindavan. Now Vrindavan is, as the name suggests, a forested area, Vrinda. It is a place where the cowherd men and their community reside, the cowherds reside. And the leaders among them is Nanda Maharaj. Actually Nanda is the third, there are five brothers, he's the third among them. But he's the most virtuous. So therefore the oldest brother Upananda, he says that actually I don't deserve the throne, Nanda deserves the throne. And he becomes their leader. And he leads the whole community with great expertise, and the whole Vrindavan flourishes under him. But although the community is flourishing, his heart is distressed. His heart is distressed because he does not have a son. He wants to have children. He's tried, but he just doesn't have any children. Then he and Yashoda, they're discussing once, and at that time he said that actually the desire for the child is there within me, but also there is a doubt within me. So Yashoda says, what is this desire? What is the doubt? He says, from a long time I have a desire for a son who is just like Narayan. And this desire is becoming stronger with every day. But we have performed so many sacrifices, we have done so many rituals. But none of these sacrifices or rituals, they can guarantee a son just like Narayan. And if there is no son like him, then I don't want any other son. So Yashoda Mai hears this, he says, yes, I also feel like that. But then Nanda Maharaj says, although this desire is impossible, but at the same time, the desire is also irresistible. And from the last few days, I have been getting a vision of a bluish black complexion boy playing a flute, wearing a peacock feather. And I feel this is the child which we are meant to have. So they start, Yashoda Mai says, no, maybe we should do the Dwadashi Vrata. And by that Ekadashi and Dwadashi, these are the occasions for pleasing Lord Vishnu. So if he is pleased with us, then he will bless us. And then for one full year they do this Vrata diligently. And as they do this Vrata, one day, Yashoda Mai suddenly feels as if some celestial presence has entered into her body. And then she realizes that she has become pregnant. The whole of Vrindavan erupts in joy. At this time, Nanda Maharaj has already become a little old. So at this age, to expect a child, they didn't really expect a child, but they get a child and they're very happy with that. He's not yet born, but he's conceived. And as he starts growing, at that time, he's slowly growing. At that time, Vasudev, who is the friend and cousin of Nanda Maharaj, he sends his wife Rohini over there. And Rohini, she is just pregnant also. However, she is pregnant, but at that time, after 7 months, it appears as if she has lost her baby. But then by mystical arrangement, Devaki, who is pregnant, her child is transferred to the womb of Rohini. And her pregnancy goes on for a long time. And in the meanwhile, here Devaki also becomes pregnant again. So, although the difference in conception between Krishna and Balaram is 1 year, but the difference in the delivery of both of them is just 1 week. So Devaki is pregnant, and then she apparently has a miscarriage, but the child is transferred to Rohini's womb, and Rohini has a very long pregnancy, and thus Balaram is born just a few days before Krishna. Now we know Krishna is born in Mathura, but when Yashoda is pregnant, at that time Yashoda, she becomes jubilant with every passing day as her delivery date comes closer and closer. And by divine arrangement, both Devaki and Yashoda, they deliver a child on the same night. And Yashoda is so exhausted that she falls asleep. She knows she has delivered a child, but because of exhaustion, she is no longer aware who she has delivered. So, what happens unknown to her, she delivers not one child, but two children. She delivers a boy who is Krishna, and she delivers a girl who is the goddess, that is Durga. And Nandama and Vasudev, that night he takes Krishna from the forest, from the jail where he is there, and he comes across through the Jamuna. And when he comes across through the Jamuna towards Vrindavan, at that time, that Krishna, he falls from his hands into the Jamuna river. And Vasudev is horrified. It's a small helpless baby, and that night Jamuna is very, very fierce. So as soon as Krishna falls, he's panicky, but then he thinks Krishna is drowned, but he finds Krishna. And as soon as he finds Krishna and he picks Krishna up, suddenly Jamuna becomes calm. And not only she becomes calm, it almost appears as if she is giving a way for Krishna, for Vasudev to go. The Bhagavatam describes, just as long ago when Lord Ram wanted to go to Lanka to get Sita, the ocean parted. The ocean didn't part literally, but the ocean gave a way for Ram to go. Similarly, now when Vasudev was taking Krishna, at that time the river gave the way. The river peacefully allowed Vasudev to go through. But still, there are many differences. Now, Ram was going to get Sita, whereas Vasudev was going to deliver Krishna, to keep Krishna over there. Why? Because Kamsa had enmity towards Vasudev's children, Devaki's children, and especially the eighth child, he considered will be my antaka, my death. And thus, to protect Krishna from Vasudev, from from Kamsa, Vasudeva was taking him to Vrindavan. Now, because it was completely pitch dark, Vasudeva went in the dark and he went to the inner chambers. And Yashoda was lying over there. He put the baby over there, put Krishna over there. And in the dark, he saw there is some baby. And he picked her up. He picked her up and he came back. In the dark, he did not notice whether there was one child or two children. Now, Vasudeva was guided by Krishna from within. Krishna was in his arms, but Krishna was also inside his heart. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but he's also playing the role of a baby. So he, Vasudeva, externally was lifting Krishna and carrying him. But internally, Krishna, as the indwelling Lord, as the Paramatma, was guiding Vasudeva. So there, when he picked up a girl and he came back, he delivered Krishna over there. He didn't notice whether there's one or two children. But as soon as he put Krishna over there, what happened was that these two manifestations of Krishna were there. One was the Krishna who had appeared in Mathura. The other was the Krishna who was born to Yashoda in Vrindavan. And the two became one. Krishna can manifest many, many forms when required. And Krishna can manifest one form when needed. So here, those two Krishnas became one. Now, this was not known to anyone. Vasudeva took this girl and he came back. Now, as soon as he came back to the cell where he had been locked, the girl started crying. And as soon as he started crying, there, the guards who had fallen asleep, they woke up. And they said, "What is this? Who is this?" And immediately they ran and informed Kamsa. Kamsa had been waiting. "This eighth child is going to be my death." Immediately woke up, disheveled hair, he marched to the cell. And then as he observed, Devaki pitifully told him, "This is a girl." He says, she told him, "Don't kill her. She will become your daughter-in-law. So, you have no fear from a girl." Now, Kamsa was so maddened by anger at that time, he had already killed six children. How he, with no heart at all, heartlessly just picked up the girl to smash her to the ground and kill her. Now, how could Vasudeva knew that if he brought this girl back, this girl, she would be in great danger. She would be killed by Kamsa. So how could Vasudeva let... he wanted to save his son. But for saving his son, how could he let the daughter of someone else, daughter of his own friend and cousin, Vasudeva, Nanda, be killed? So actually, Vasudeva was orchestrated by a higher plan. He himself had sacrificed not one, not two, but six sons for ensuring that Krishna would appear. And now, when Krishna had appeared, the protection of Krishna was what was paramount. Vasudeva himself was famous as a truthful person. And that's why when Vasudeva had promised Kamsa that I will give you my sons, Kamsa had believed him. But here, when after Krishna was born, Vasudeva took Krishna and went to Vrindavan. For the Lord's sake, everything can be sacrificed. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. So normally it is by being truthful, by being virtuous, that we can become godly and approach the Lord. But in special situations, we may have to give up truthfulness to approach the Lord. Not that we become habitual liars, but that Truthfulness is not the supreme virtue. Devotion is the supreme virtue. Whatever is required for the service of the Lord, he's ready to do that. So, he knew the Lord was prompting him from within, and he did that. And when he did that, at the same time, the Lord also had a plan. So, Kamsa took this girl and he was about to smash. And suddenly that girl slipped from his hands. And she went up and she manifested a magnificent, effulgent form. She became the goddess. There was the tiger on which she was marching. She had six arms, she had weapons in the arms. There were various gods who were offering praises to her. And now she was Durga, and Kamsa himself used to worship Durga regularly. So he said, "You fool, why are you trying to kill me?" He said, "The one who is going to kill you is already born." And when he heard this, he was so shocked. He heard the words, but the words did not register in him as a sight. Such a sudden, dazzling sight. Oh, this is Durga. He says, if Devaki has given birth through Durga, that means Devaki must be somebody very special. So he said, oh, if she gave birth to Krishna, to Durga, if she is so special, then what have I done? Offending her, by imprisoning her, by killing her children. So immediately, his whole mood changed. And he folded his hands, oh Vasudeva, Devaki, actually, I have been so cruel, I have been so heartless, I killed your children. Please forgive me. And then, although he was speaking this, he rationalized. He said, actually, you are very learned, you are very philosophical. You understand the truth is not as it appears to be. Ultimately, we are puppets in the hands of destiny. So I did not kill you. It was destiny that you killed your children. So now, to say like this is to rationalize our misdeeds. If I come suddenly to one of you and I slap you, why did you slap me? It was your destiny that slapped you. And you will say, okay, now your destiny will slap you. He'll slap me back. So now, even if by destiny those children were supposed to die, Kamsa didn't have to kill them. They might have died by some other means. Kamsa did not think, I am being an instrument of destiny and killing them. Kamsa had a very selfish, heartless, cruel greed for power and wanted to maintain his life at all costs. So it was for his selfish purpose that he killed the children. And thus, he cannot blame destiny. But Vasudeva and Devaki, because Krishna had been born and Krishna was safe in Vrindavan, now they were so relieved. They just decided to hold no grudges against Kamsa. They held no grudges against Kamsa and they said, okay, you know, Kamsa said, please forgive me. I'll forgive you. Now, sometimes we feel if somebody has hurt us terribly, how can we forgive them like that? Now, often forgiveness seems very difficult because we mistake forgiving and trusting to be the same thing. Now, forgiveness is for the past. Trust is for the future. We can forgive people who have hurt us, but we can't trust them. Forgiveness can be given, but trust has to be earned. So, when Vasudev and Devaki saw the changed demeanor, changed behavior of Kamsa, they forgave him. Okay, he said, please forgive us for whatever I did to you. They forgive. But they did not trust Kamsa. They did not tell Kamsa, actually, you know, our eighth son is in Vrindavan. That would have been foolish. They didn't tell that. So, we don't have to hold what wrongs people have done in the past against them. We can give them a chance to reform. But a chance to reform means that they have to actually show by their actions, not just by their words. So Vasudev kept that secret from him. So that so that Krishna would be safe. And because Kamsa was in this way, he was at this point in the reconciliatory mood. Oh, please forgive me. And Kamsa justified his actions by saying that actually it is known that humans speak lies, but Kali Yuga has really arrived now. Why? Because even the gods are speaking lies. He says, how? Because the Akashavani had come saying that Devaki's 8th son will kill me. But Devaki's 8th child turned out to be not a son but a daughter. So, see, actually, you know, I was misled by the gods. So, see, what times have come, the gods are also speaking lies. Now, the Acharya has described that actually when the Akashavani comes, it is a gender neutral Akashavani. It's Ashtam Garbha. the eighth womb, the eighth pregnancy, what will kill will be the cause of your death. Now he presumes it will be a son who will kill me. And then a daughter is born. He says, okay, the gods also spoke lies. Now normally, you know, when we see something and we hear something, often our visual sense, it registers in us much more. So when he sees this dazzling sight of Devaki, of the goddess Durga manifesting, he's very impressed by that. And he just gives up, he releases Vasudev, Devaki, and then he goes back home. But Kamsa, if he's characterized by anything, he is characterized by fickleness. He doesn't stick to any decision. All of us are moody. All of us have our moods, you know. Sometimes we are in a good mood, sometimes in a bad mood. But even the good moods and bad moods are within some amplitude. When we are in good mood, we will be very cheerful and very caring. In a bad mood, we just don't want to talk with anyone. But Kamsa, when he's in a good mood, he would release Vasudeva and Devaki from prison, but in a bad mood, he was out to kill them. Such mood swings he had. So afterwards, when he went back home and he lay down and started contemplating, he said, hey, the goddess appeared from Devaki, that's all right. But he said, the one who is going to kill you is already born. Oh, where is he born? How can I find him? And Kamsa had his associates. And those associates would fuel his demonic nature even more. So then Kamsa decided to go on a rampage nearby, find whoever children are born and kill all of them. So it's like, suppose there's a mosquito in our house and the mosquito has bit us. And somebody gets so angry that decided to blow the whole house up with a bomb to kill that one mosquito. It's ridiculous. But Kamsa decided to slaughter all the children who had been born nearby. Now in the meanwhile, while this was happening, all this happened in the night, and the next morning Kamsa's mood changed entirely. And he said that, I'm going to kill all children who are born nearby. The next morning, when Yashoda got up, and she saw this beautiful child in front of her. It was like a bluish black lotus with eyes which were beautiful, like the most exquisite flower. And he was so tender. He said, was this child really born of me? Krishna is the giver of remembrance and Krishna is the giver of forgetfulness. So Yashoda just didn't remember. She knew she had a child, but she had fallen asleep and she woke up. She's so astounded to see this beautiful child. She couldn't believe that this child is born of me. And as the child woke up and started crying, the other ladies also came in. And when they saw Krishna, they were astounded. Who is this? He's an immeasurable ocean of beauty. And as the child started crying, then Rohini came there. And she picked up the child. And she held her to the bosom, and then she pacified the child and she gave it to Yashoda. And Yashoda picked up her. And as soon as he touched the child, just seeing the child, it astounded her. But she picked up this child. He felt an ocean of love flooding into her heart. And she picked up the child and started offering him her breast milk. And meanwhile, all the residents of Vrindavan, they had all been sad because their king and queen did not have a child. As the news started spreading that Yashoda has got a son now, everybody started celebrating. At this point, Rohini, she acted like the incharge. She called an old lady who was venerable and elderly, and she told her, please go and tell Nanda Maharaj. And she ran into the cow shed, the cow grazing area where the cows were taken care of, and Nanda Maharaj was there. And in the Gopal Champujiva Goswami describes that as she was running to carry this message, she was filled with ecstasy. Everyone in Vrindavan became jubilant. And when she came to Nanda Maharaj, she wanted to speak, but words wouldn't come out. But Nanda Maharaj saw her face, and he saw the jubilation on her face, and he understood something wonderful has happened. And then finally she spoke. The other cowherd men had also come over there. Vrindavan is a close-knit community. Everybody works close by with each other. So when they saw this lady coming running, the other cowherds also came over there. And when she was looking at Nanda Maharaj, she was thinking how much joy Nanda Maharaj will feel that he has got a son now. So she was joyful. She was thinking of Nanda Maharaj's joy. And she was becoming so joyful that no words would come out of her mouth. So then she had a service to do. She had to speak. So how do I speak? Then she finally turned away from Nanda Maharaj. And when she turned away from Nanda Maharaj to all the other cowherds who were there, her ecstasy went down a little bit. Her ecstasy went down, and then he spoke. He says, our king now has a son. And as soon as he spoke this, everybody over there became jubilant. And then Nanda Maharaj's brother Upananda also came. And Nanda Maharaj said, she has given such a wonderful news to me. He says, whatever charity she wants, he says, give it to her. And Nanda Maharaj ran back to the house. And there all the ladies of Vrindavan, they had come there. Not just Nanda Maharaj, his brothers and his family, but all the other ladies also, they were so delighted. They all came over there. And as Nanda Maharaj came in, Yashoda was with Krishna, and Yashoda was still on her bed. She was still exhausted. So Rohini came and picked up the baby. And picked up the baby and brought him in front of Nanda Maharaj. And as Nanda Maharaj saw it, this was the baby he had seen in his dreams. That same child had appeared. So he started thinking, is this a child who is born, or is this ecstasy who is born in the form of a child? Nanda, the word Nanda is related with the word Ananda. His name was Nanda because he would give joy to everyone. But when Krishna was born, Krishna gave joy to the one who gave joy to everyone. So Krishna flooded his heart with joy. And then Rohini came and offered this child to Krishna, Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj picked him up and he smelled the hair. He put him to his bosom and he became electrified with ecstasy. This was the fulfillment of all his dreams. And the child whom he had longed for so long had now appeared. And then the Vrajavasis decided to do a grand celebration to celebrate the birth of Krishna. That celebration happens the next day. That is, tomorrow will be the Nandotsav, when Nanda Maharaj celebrates in great jubilation. Later on, several days later, Nanda Maharaj does the name-giving ceremony of Krishna. through Garga Muni. Now that ceremony is done in secrecy. But there is no secrecy. There is abandoned celebration, open celebration when Krishna's birth is there. Why is that? Because at this point, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, they don't know, they don't even suspect. They always think Krishna is our child. And at this point, well, Kamsa has not started his rampage, his carnage of children. So they just happy, our child is born and we are going to celebrate. But when Garga Muni comes over there, at that time, everybody knows that Garga Muni is the priest of the Yadus. And therefore, when if he is doing the name-giving ceremony of a child, then maybe that child is actually the child of Vasudeva. And Kamsa will come to know, and Kamsa will try to attack this child. So later on, all the concealing of Krishna's glory starts. At that time, the celebration is not so much. It's all a small ceremony in the cowshed. But here when Nanda Maharaj is born, Nanda Maharaj is celebrating the birth of Krishna, the celebration is unlimited. The celebration just goes on and on. Everybody in Vrindavan is flooded with ecstasy on the birth of Krishna. Krishna is already present in the hearts of the Vrajavas, in the heart of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. But when he appears as a child before them, their joy knows no bounds. So that event, that momentous event, when Krishna appeared in Vrindavan and flooded the hearts of the Vrajavasis, that is an event that happened thousands of years ago on this earth. And that event is not just a historical event. The Lord's pastimes are not just history. They are eternity manifesting through history. Krishna is eternal. His pastimes go on eternally. But sometime through the medium of history, they become manifest to us. And Krishna's appearance is not just a one-time event that happens thousands of years ago in history. Krishna's appearance is an event that is meant to happen in our own hearts. That when we pray to Krishna, just as Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda begged for Krishna's presence, just as they performed a vrata to beseech Krishna's presence in their own lives. And similarly, on Janmashtami, when we perform a vrata, we are also begging to Krishna, please appear in my heart. So that Lord, who appeared thousands of years ago in this world, the purpose of his appearance is not just to appear in this world. The purpose of his appearance in this world is ultimately to appear in our hearts. And when he appears in our hearts, just as he flooded Vrindavan with ecstasy, he can also fill our hearts with ecstasy. He can give us a supreme joy, the supreme enrichment, by which whatever else happens in our life, it all becomes not so important. Krishna and love for Krishna becomes supremely important for us. That is the supreme blessing of Janmashtami. That Krishna appears in our heart, Krishna conquers our heart, Krishna rules our heart, and our heart becomes his kingdom. Our heart becomes Vrindavan. When our heart becomes Vrindavan, when we become attracted to him, then we are eventually transported to him. When our love for Krishna becomes greater than our love for this world, for the various things in this world, when our love for Krishna becomes greater than our love for this world, then Krishna takes us out of this world to his eternal abode. And that is life's supreme perfection. And Krishna is constantly working for this perfection. I'll conclude with one prayer which Kulashekhar Maharaj offers. He says, Shri Vallabheti Vardeti Daya Pareti Bhakta Priyeti Bhavalunthana Kovideti Natheti Nagashayaneti Jagannivaseti. Alapinam pratidinam kurumam mukunda. He says, "Oh Lord, I want to chant your holy names constantly, every day." And it gives a list of many different names. Shri Vallabheti. He is the Lord who is the God, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune. And it's not that he wants all fortunes for himself. Varadeti. He wants to give blessings to everyone. He's expert at giving blessings. Dayapareti. And he's very merciful, divinely, transcendently merciful. And he says, Bhakta Priyeti. He gives blessings to everyone, but to his devotees he gives special blessings. Because he loves those devotees and the devotees love him. And what is the blessing that he gives to his devotees? Bhavaluntana Kovideti. Bhavaluntana. Bhava is material existence. Luntana means plunder. That means in this material world, we are all trapped. Whatever it is that traps us in this world, Krishna frees us from that. For that, Kovideti. He is expert. He is supremely expert. He is expert in freeing the devotees from the miseries of material existence. Krishna is always with us. And he always wants us to become elevated, to become liberated. Krishna's love for us doesn't depend on who we are. We may be advanced devotees, we may be new devotees, we may not even be devotees. Krishna is there in the hearts of everyone. Krishna loves everyone. Krishna's love for us doesn't depend on who we are. It depends on who he is. He is the all-loving Lord of everyone. And he loves us eternally. So by hearing the pastimes of Krishna, that is meant to awaken faith in our heart. Not just faith in the existence of God. That is a preliminary faith. It's required. But for a devotee, that is very preliminary. The faith, if the faith that we want is the faith in Krishna's benevolence. That Krishna loves us. Krishna cares for us. Krishna wants the best for us. And even when bad things are happening in our life, Krishna has a plan by which he will bring out good for us. So that is the faith if we can get by hearing these scriptural pastimes, where even devotees of the caliber of Vasudeva and Devaki, they have to suffer the loss of so many children. Devotees of the caliber of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they have to live in the distress of not having a child for so long. But eventually, they are supremely enriched. So if we can get this faith that Krishna loves us and Krishna will do the best for us, then that faith will become our supreme strength. That faith will enable us to weather whatever storms life may send our way. And that faith will take us to life's supreme perfection. Krishna Bhagavan ki Jai. Krishna Janmashtami Mahamahotsav ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki Jai. Jai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for wonderful.